Good morning, church. Let me welcome our online community. So if you're watching us on YouTube, Facebook, or later in the week, it's so good. We are so thankful that you're tuning in with us. And if you are in the atrium or right here in the room, it's so good to see all of your beautiful faces. And before I dive into today's message, I just want to take a moment and acknowledge some of our students who are heading back to college. Some for the first time, others returning. And today we had the privilege to have four of them leading us in worship today. So let me just say, Sarah, Mackenzie, Natalie, Jemerson, thank you so much. We are going to miss you guys. So today we are also finishing our series, Encounters. And during this series, for the past 9 weeks, we've been looking at stories of people that encountered Jesus and were completely transformed. And we've been saying that these stories are not just stories from the past, but they are windows in how Jesus still meets us today, August 10, 2025. And this morning, we are going to end where it all leads, at the cross. The encounter we are looking at today is found in Luke, and it captures such a powerful moment. It's the story of two men, both of them guilty of their crimes, both of them facing the punishment they deserve. And whatever they have done, whatever they did, it was serious enough to lead them to the place they're going to. This punishment, this sentence they had was the sentence of crucifixion. One of the most brutal, shameful, and painful sentences the world has ever seen. It was designed not just to kill, but to humiliate. A punishment reserved for the worst of the worst. We have a message that will say, this is what happens when you cross Rome. This is what happens when you mess with Rome. And yet, these two men, while they're in pain, in their punishment, they encounter Jesus. They got to be with Jesus because Jesus was right in the middle. One on the right, the other one on the left, and both of them had a choice to make. One recognized Jesus, the other did not. So let's read what the other who rejected Jesus say. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you are the Messiah, aren't you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you are at it. Church, something I have learned about life in my 37 years is that life is all about choices, decisions. In fact, did you know that the average adult makes around 35,000 decisions every single day? This is according to research at the University of Minnesota. So whether your decision is small, big, complex, simple, we are constantly choosing. Just think about it for a moment. Since you woke up today, you'll be making decisions. What to wear? What color shirt to wear? Should I eat breakfast? Not eat breakfast. Should I come to the 11 a.m. service or the 9 a.m.? I think all of you choose 11 today. Whether to just hit the snooze button, I'm not getting up today, or throw the phone. What route to take to church? How to respond to a text that you got last night? What to say or not to say to that family member that is driving you crazy? Here's one of my favorite ones that we are deciding. How am I going to show up today? What's my attitude going to be today? Will it be a good attitude or a bad one? Here's my favorite. You are deciding right now if you guys will listen to me today. Am I going to pay attention in service today? But let me go deeper. Maybe you are deciding to forgive someone and you need to make a decision. And here's another one. Whether to trust God or control things yourself. Some choices are small, but others are life-changing. And both men at this cross had to make a decision. And guess what? So do we. And the most important choice we'll ever make is this question. What will we do with Jesus? What will we do with Jesus? Again, that first man made fun of Jesus. He didn't take Jesus seriously. Instead, he mocked him. But the other man was different. He didn't mock Jesus. He was honest with Jesus. He understood his sins. He acknowledged his crime. And this is what he said. But the other criminal protested. Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes. And listen here. But this man hasn't done anything wrong. So the first thing I want us to notice in this is that both men were guilty. Both of them had sinned, and they were facing the consequences of their actions. But let me tell you this. They are not the only ones who have sinned. We as well have sinned. We are not perfect. We are sinners as well. And look what Romans 3:23 says. For everyone has sinned. It doesn't say for some or for Yayo. No. It says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We all are sinners. Back in Tennessee, I used to volunteer for a camp as a camp pastor for 6 years. And in this camp, our goal was to help the kids, the campers, understand what's sin in their wisdom. How could we show them what's sin? And they came up with this simple and powerful definition of what sin is. And this is the definition. Sin is anything we do, say, or think that breaks God's heart. Everything we do, say, or think that breaks God's heart. Sin is not just the big stuff. We all do it, even in the little things. And here are some examples. Lying to avoid getting in trouble. Kids, that's you sometimes. Did you clean your room today? Nope. Yes, I did clean my room, but they did not. I'm not talking to my kids. Some of us talking back to your parents or your teachers. Saying something hurtful to a friend. Gossiping about someone's behind's back. Holding on to anger and refuse to forgive. Cheating on a test. Being jealous when someone else gets something you wanted. Thinking you are better than someone else. Ignoring someone in need when you could help. And here's another thing that maybe some of us do. Choosing your way instead of God's way. And just like those two men had to face their consequences, we do too. This is what Romans 6:23 says. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus, our Lord, Christ Jesus, our Lord. In other words, sin has a cost. And just like those two men at the cross were paying the price for what they have done, we as well have to pay for the prices of our sins. And based on this verse, is with death. Guys, there's still hope. I know it sounds heavy right now, but it's still good news for us. And I'll get there in a moment. I want us to look at the other part of this man's response at the cross. This is what we can get from here. Jesus was not guilty. He had done nothing wrong. He was completely innocent, pure, holy, without sin. Jesus was not guilty. So what does that mean for us today? It means he didn't die for his own sins because he had none. Jesus was clean, but he took the punishment of our sins. And look what 2 Corinthians 5:21 says. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Jesus took our place. Jesus took our judgment that we deserve. The innocent died for the guilty so that the guilty could be made clean. See, there's hope for us. And he has name, it's Jesus. But here's the thing we cannot miss. It's still our choice. We still have to decide, just like those two men at the cross. So what will you do with Jesus today? I want us to continue reading the man's response. who follow Jesus. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. This man chose to be real with Jesus. He chose to be honest about his sin. He chose Jesus, and guess what? Jesus responds. This is what he said. I assure you today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. Church, Jesus doesn't wait for perfection because there's no perfection. He responds to honesty. He responds to your heart. He's not looking for people that have it all together. He's looking for people who are willing to come as they are. This is me. I'm broken, Jesus. And he's there waiting for you. So we get to choose that. Do we want that or do we want to run away from it? Church, 2 weeks ago, as many as you know, and if you were not here, but let me tell the story first. 2 weeks ago, I had hiccups. They started on a Wednesday. And I had them from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But God is a miracle that on Sunday, they disappeared as I was speaking here. Amen for that, because God made me speak. As soon as I got home, they came back and lasted for 7 more days. 13 days of hiccups. But during that time, I had to make a choice. Be upset about it or give it to Jesus. I remember my wife looking at me and saying, how can you be so calm and not annoyed? I'm like, have you gone inside my brain right now? I'm frustrated inside. I want to scream. Stop asking me questions. Don't ask me questions. Hiccup, hiccup. I'm done with it. I just can't no more. But I had to make a decision. I had to choose whether to be with a good attitude or be mad all the time. And let me tell you, I have the excuse. Poor Yayo, he's dealing with hiccups. Let him be mad. But I had to choose between hurting my family's feelings, hurting my kids, even at work. So I choose Jesus, even though it was hard. I went to the emergency, to the ER 2 times. And the second time, they did an AKG. I don't know how you pronounce that. EKG. They pulled these cables, and they couldn't keep up with my hiccups. An hour of them trying. They wanted me to hold my breath for 10 seconds. Hold your breath for 10 seconds. Nope, every 1 second, hiccup, hiccup. Hiccup, 1 hour of it. It was rough. I was mad. I was upset, but I gave it to Jesus. Because if I'm preaching about trusting Jesus, I need to live it. And I still remember that I had to choose between being upset 24/7, because it was 13 days. And I did not sleep out of those 13 days, 7 days. So I was a walking zombie. Or trust Jesus. And here's one thing I want us to see. When you choose Jesus, it's not about a moment. It's about a movement. It's not just of what happens to you. It's about what happens through you. So I experienced these hiccups for 13 days. Yes, I was going through it. Yes, I was upset. Yes, I was sad. But I choose to trust Jesus to respond with grace so I don't have to take care of my family. And that impacted my family. I remember that the atmosphere at my house was hilarious. Every time I did a hiccup, Joanna would respond with a hiccup. Hiccup, 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 hiccup. We were just laughing about it, enjoying the moment. I could be the opposite. I could be angry. But also at the same time, my kids got to see, well, Yayo preaches here, talks about patience and everything. They got to see their dad walking in patience. And trust me, there was times I just wanted to take my shoe and throw it down. And thank God that I choose Jesus. That's what happens when we choose Jesus. It's not just about what he does in us. It's about what he does through us. Even something simple as hiccups, Jesus was still shaping me and helping me and giving me the strength to reflect his love. Not Yayo's love, but his love. Choosing Jesus means to love like he does, to love like he loves, to forgive as he forgives, to serve others, even though you don't want to serve. Choosing Jesus means showing grace to people that don't even earn it. Because that's what Jesus did for you. That's what he did for me. It means choosing kindness instead of pride, compassion instead of non-compassion. It means putting others first. When you choose Jesus, you are not just choosing heaven today. You're choosing to live for him every day, Monday to Sunday. Church, when we choose Jesus, things change around us. How we treat our families, how we treat our coworkers, our neighbors, even our enemies. This choice is very important when we choose Jesus. So the question isn't just what will we do with Jesus, it's also, will you love others the way Jesus loved you? Will you love others the way Jesus loved you? And one of the things I love about our church here at New Hope is that we just don't walk and preach about hope and love. We get to choose to live it out. We get to be part of God's work and what he's doing. And one of the ways we can do that today is by supporting our annual school drive. We can choose to support and give to our annual school drive. There's some kids who are about to start school that may not have everything they need, pencils, the basics. But you can choose to help us. Because the church is not this building. The church is us, and we can make a difference together. The same hope Jesus gave that to that criminal on the cross who dared to reach out to honesty, the same hope he gives you and gives me. So today, let's not just talk about Jesus. Let's live Jesus. Let's show Jesus. Let's be the kind of people who don't only choose Jesus on a Sunday, but they choose Jesus Monday through Sunday, even when you have hiccups, even when you're at the doctor, even when you are dealing with distress, school stress, financial stress, relationship stress. Choose Jesus because he is the only way that will give you the peace that you need. Jesus loved both men at that cross. He loved the right. He loved the left. But one chose to follow him. And the other one chose to make fun of him. So today, you can choose Jesus. Just like the men at the cross. You can be honest to Jesus. And if you have never made that decision of believing in Jesus for the first time, or maybe you left church for a while and you want to come back to him, this encounter is for you. And you can make a decision by accepting Jesus. And it's simple as the A, B, C. A, admit. We saw that guy on the cross. We are sinners. He doesn't deserve to die. We do. So we have to admit our sins. Number two, believe. Believe that he's our heavenly Father who, yes, did not die at that cross, but resurrected on the third day. And there's power with that. And C, choose. Choose to say, he is my Lord and Savior. That's as easy as it gets, church. Jesus made it simple. He did the hard work. And if that's you today, there's a welcome card in front of you. If you want to make that decision, there's a welcome card in front of you. And let me help you. If you want to accept Christ, you can put your name right here, your last name. But make sure you write it clear. Because sometimes handwritings can be hard. Put your email, your phone number. And in my spiritual journey, choose where you need to be at. And when you leave this building, there's two doors right there where you can drop them off. Somebody will reach out to you, or you can come to me and just give it to me. But this encounter is for you. Jesus wants to meet you where you are at. Yes, you may not have it together. Yes, you're not perfect. You never go be perfect. I'm sorry. But with Jesus, we can be perfect. Now, maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a long time. You know who he is. You go to the Bible. You study the Bible. You go to Bible groups. You pray. You do everything. Let me ask you this. Do you love like Jesus? Because following Jesus isn't just about praying. It's not just about reading your Bible. It's about living the way he wants us to live. By loving, by caring, by showing mercy. It's about loving people who don't like you, who don't think like you, who don't act like you, who are different than you. That's our job, is to love people like Jesus loves them. So today, the challenge isn't just for those who need to come to Jesus. It's also for all of us in the room who already know Jesus as well. Are we reflecting his love? Are we bringing his kingdom here? Are we showing people that we love Jesus? Church, about a few weeks ago, I had a meeting with a friend. And he asked me a question out of the blue. And this is what he said. Yayo, with everything going on around immigration, how can I respond in a way that doesn't come across judgmental or like I am trying to push my own beliefs? And then he continued, how can I show Jesus first before my political views, and what can I do? That's a loaded question. Now, I am Hispanic. That question, they have asked me that question many times. And I have gotten to debates. I have gotten to conflicts, arguments. But about 10 years ago, Jesus gave me the answer to that question. And it's very simple. It's not as complicated as many people think it is. It's the answer to this. And this is what I told my friend. Love like Jesus loves you. Period. No more. Love like Jesus loves you. That's where it starts. If Jesus loved you when you were broken, if Jesus loved you when you were confused, if Jesus loved you when you were far away from him, then love the same way. If Jesus didn't lead with judgment but with compassion, then we need to lead with compassion too. So what does that mean for us? It means listening before speaking. It means seeking to understand someone's story and not just argue a point. It means showing kindness even when you disagree. And it's okay to disagree. But we can still show kindness in that disagreement. It means being interested in someone's heart than winning a debate. It means choosing grace over assumptions. It means letting people see Jesus in how you treat them, not just in what you believe. Because the goal isn't to win an argument, it's to win a soul. We need to share Jesus' love in every aspect, in everything we do, we need to share his love. Doesn't matter if it's politics, if it's even a soccer team that you don't like. We still got to share Jesus to that soccer team, right? We still got to share Jesus because that's what he does. We need to show love. So whether you are deciding to follow him for the first time or you are already walking with him, today is a new opportunity to choose him again, to reflect his love, and to carry his presence into a world around you. Virginia needs Jesus. Virginia needs people that will show the love of Jesus Christ. That's what Virginia needs. That's what my neighbor needs. That's what my other neighbor needs. They need people that are not afraid to share the love of Jesus Christ. Church, one man mocked Jesus. The other, the remorseful one, reached in a moment of raw honesty and found eternal hope. That man who was there with Jesus, he found hope. He said, I will follow you. Remember me. And he says, you will enter paradise with me. That's Jesus telling us that today. So we have to make a choice. Are we going to follow Jesus and live like Jesus 24/7? Or are we going to walk away from Jesus and do our own ideas and our own beliefs? Yesterday, I went to a wedding, a beautiful wedding. And it's crazy how God works in mysterious ways. I was supposed to be in table 8. Table 8 was full of people. It was the popular table. Everyone was there. And I'm like, with my wife, I'm like, yeah, we're not going to fit here. So we end up going to table 6, where there was only 2 people, and my wife and I. And as I was talking to the person there in that table, we were just talking, he starts telling me, man, you know, for the past couple of years, I had conversations of people telling me that I should become a worship pastor. This is me. Hey, I'm a pastor. He's like, what? Like, how God works, right? Like, of the blue, somebody's been telling you, maybe you go be a worship pastor. Then you are sitting here with a pastor. And then he starts asking me questions. How did you know you were going to be a pastor? So I was honest. I was like, I didn't know I was going to be a pastor. It wasn't part of my plan to be a pastor. All I did, and I continue to do, is love Jesus and show the love of Jesus. Whether I'm a pastor or not a pastor, my job is to love and share the love of Jesus to everyone. That's where it starts. And if God calls you to ministry, trust me, he'll kick you into ministry. Because that's what he did to me. All right, I wasn't in Yayo's agenda, in Yayo's plan, I wasn't supposed to be a pastor. I was still going to church. I was still going to do my thing, but God made it happen. I still remember 2011 when my pastor came up to me and he's like, you go join ministry. You don't have no choice. I'm like, well, you already talked. Let's go. That's all it was. And I was telling him, don't worry about the title. Don't worry about that part. Just shine the love of Jesus wherever you go. He's a musician. He says, I love music. I love music too. And he's like, I don't want to let go of my music. You don't have to let go of your music. God can use your music and reach people with your music. And it doesn't matter if it's non-Christian, Christian music. You can be the light wherever you are at. And that's where it starts. So I was taking photos. I had a camera. And I was giving him the example. Think of this camera. You need to have flash so you can see. That's what you can do right now. Be the flash wherever you're going, reflecting the love of Jesus Christ. It was very interesting that conversation happened. And I know God is working with him. I don't know if he's going to be a pastor or not, but I do know that he left asking God something. And today, we have to make a choice. We have to decide. We have to choose. What will we do with Jesus? Are we going to love like Jesus loves? Or are we going to love like we love and then maybe love like Jesus loves? Those two men at the cross, one deny him and one believe. It's not too late for us, church. It's not too late. Jesus still does miracles. Do you believe that? Jesus still moves in powerful waves. Jesus still can cure cancer. Jesus can still help you in your financial stress. Maybe he'll give you the money. Maybe he won't, but he'll give you the wisdom how to deal with the money later. I learned that the hard way. Like, I get it. Sometimes it's hard to follow Jesus. I get it. With my hiccups, that was the last thing I wanted to do was follow Jesus. I was mad. Imagine hiccups 13 days nonstop. No. Why? I mean, you took them away on Sunday. Can you take them away the following days? That didn't happen. But I choose to trust my Father. I choose to trust Jesus. Because at the end of the day, he's the best thing I have ever decided to follow. He gave me peace, love, comfort. Even when I was going through my crazy illness, I had peace. And that's the love of Jesus. I know those two men on the cross were suffering. They were hurting. But one found peace. So today, don't be like the other guy. Follow Jesus. And when it gets hard, when the hiccups do come, I hope it doesn't come, but if they do come to you, trust Jesus. Give it to him. Because he is love. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should have everlasting life, should have eternal life, should have forever life. And that's the gift that Jesus has given us. But we get to decide, do we grab it or do we ignore it? The choice is yours. So I'm finishing up right now. I want to give you by a minute, maybe 30 seconds, for you to talk to God. Be real. Tell him, this is where I'm at right now. I am right here. This is my struggle. Just be as open as you can to him. Just talk to him. This encounter is for you. It's for me. It's for all of us. Jesus wants to meet you where you are at. So let's all close our eyes. And if that's you today, just talk to God. I'm giving you 30 seconds. It will be quiet. Father, thank you for what you did in the cross. Thank you for taking my sins, our sins, the sins of the world. And Lord, today I pray for that person who wants to reconcile back with you or wants to get to know you for the first time. Lord, I pray that you be with him, with her. Lord, I also pray for those who are walking with you, but maybe they're not walking all the way. I pray that we can trust you, that they can trust you. Lord, I pray that your will be done in our lives and that we can reflect your face to the world, that we can reflect your love to the world, your light to the world. Lord, thank you for defeating death at the cross because you resurrected. And I just pray, Lord, that in this week, we can find different ways to encounter you and you can continue talking to us. Thank you for loving us. In your name, we pray and say, amen. Thank you, church.